Welcome to Logical with Ludmila. I'm Ludmila Yamalova, the managing partner of Dubai-based law firm. And on today's episode, I will be discussing the process and various nuances of closing down a business in the UAE. So let's get started. Well, as many of you know, establishing a company in the UAE is a fairly straightforward process. This obviously is aided by the UAE's fairly friendly business environment and its very much strategic location, and various free zones make it much easier to set up a business and a fairly streamlined process overall. However, closing down a business in the UAE is a very different process. And it's important to highlight that business owners often discover that winding up a company involves a fairly complex and multifaceted process that requires very careful planning, compliance with various legal formalities, and fairly significant costs. To highlight, and I want to start this perhaps episode with highlighting this and reiterating it over the next 30 minutes or so, that just letting the company license expire does not result in liquidating the company, does not result in winding down the company or closing the company, which is a huge misconception amongst many business owners or many company owners in the UAE. So instead, it's a fairly formal process in order to close down the company fully. Requires actually a formal liquidation process, which, among other things, and I'll talk about it in a lot more detail shortly, but at a high level, it requires appointment of a liquidator. It requires conducting and submitting audits. And obviously settling all of the outstanding financial and regulatory obligations. In this episode, I'll discuss each one of these and what it means to hire a liquidator in the UAE, what it means to submit audit reports, and what other kind of regulatory requirements and authorities that may be involved winding down the business. But to start with, let me kind of remind or reiterate for those who may not be aware, or remind those who are aware, in terms of what it takes to set up a business in the UAE, because it does directly relate to actually closing down of the business. First of all, the UAE, as many of you should know by now, is a federal country that has seven different emirates, or seven different states in other terms. And so each one of these emirates has its own regulations in terms of company setups and company management. So you have the federal level, which is the UAE in general, and then you've got each individual emirate. And while we have federal laws that govern company setups, company formations, and also company liquidations, in terms of company setup itself, it's actually very much emirate-based. So in other words, for the time being, although this is changing, we don't have what's called the federal company. So there are certain licenses now being introduced that suggest that a federal company will soon be available. But for the time being, if you set up a business in the UAE, you set up in a specific emirate. It could be Dubai, it could be Abu Dhabi, it could be Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, and so on and so forth. So therefore, when you're talking about closing down the business, it all stems from which emirate you open the company from, and therefore those regulations and specific authorities that govern that particular emirate and that particular economic zone will be at play when you go through the process of what is required from documents to protocols to timing in terms of winding down the business. As those of you who already have businesses in the UAE would know, that within each emirate, we have further structures. So it's a layer upon layer upon layer. So you've got the UAE at a federal level that has the UAE certain federal laws that govern companies and commercial transactions. Then you have within that specific emirates where the business would be set up. And within each emirate, you have further layering. So you have the mainland, and then you have free zones. So each one of these, if you, in simple terms, you want to think about it as economic zones. So the mainland, for example, is regulated by the Department of Economic Development, which is otherwise referred to as DED. And then around the mainland, in different pockets of each emirate, you have free zones. And there are many different free zones, in particular in emirates like Dubai. And each one of these free zones is regulated by its own set of regulations and laws to an extent, which govern not only the formation of a company, but also liquidation process. So that's just kind of a quick recap. Again, you have the federal laws that govern companies in general in the UAE. Then you have within each emirate, you have specific economic zones such as DED and various free zones. And within DED and various free zones, you have its their own regulatory authorities and regulations that govern perhaps not so much the fundamentals or substantive aspects of legal existence of a company, but the process and the protocols of day-to-day operations and ultimately liquidation. So in order to understand what it means to liquidate a company, it's imperative to understand what kind of a company we're dealing with. Are we talking about an Abu Dhabi company, or are we talking about a Dubai company, are we talking about a Ras Al Khaimah company? And then once we identify the emirate, okay, so where is this particular company set up? Is it set up in the mainland and therefore governed by DED, because the liquidation process and the closing of the business will be very much mandated by what DED requires in that particular case? Or is it set up in a free zone? Okay, but free zone alone is not decisive, because there's so many different free zones, in particular in a place like Dubai. So which free zone it is, because each free zone has very much a specific process that applies to that particular free zone in terms of what it takes to close down the business. So that's the kind of general, if you will, legal framework of what goes into existence of a company in the UAE and its overall legal formation, which is critical or at the core of what we will need to know and kind of go through when we decide to, for example, close down the company. One thing we hear often from our clients is like, well, you know, my license has expired anyway, or the license will expire very shortly, or the license expired 2 or 3 years ago, so clearly the company has now no longer exists or has already been closed down. That is absolutely not the case. So the company, in fact, remains to exist and be subject to the relevant obligations and costs until it's formally liquidated. And the liquidation process is much more complex than one would perhaps expect, and most importantly, even it's a lot more complex than setting up a company in the UAE. And in fact, a lot of investors believe that setting up a company in the UAE in and of itself is already a much longer and more expensive process as is compared to setting up a company in other jurisdictions. Keeping that in mind, the liquidation process is even longer and more costly than setting up a company. In terms of the costs, there's different costs, and I'll walk you through that very shortly. But also in terms of the time, just to keep just managing your expectations, the time to liquidate a company can be anything from, and let's say conservatively, from 3 months to a year. Many of our cases, clients' cases, I mean, it took sometimes a year, year and a half to close down a company. So it's important to understand that if you actually want to close down the company, you will need to go through this very formal process properly liquidating the company, and then, which in of itself will take quite a bit of time to do, and that also will be a fairly costly exercise. And so in many people's cases, and we can talk about it sort of at the end, sometimes the decision is it's actually cheaper to just maintain the license than to formally close down. But obviously that in of itself has a lot of other consequences in the long run, especially with in the context of UAE's continuously evolving legal framework and jurisdiction, which will make it more difficult and perhaps more expensive for businesses to just keep licenses than, you know, for companies or businesses that are ultimately not operating than to eventually close them down. So now let's talk about the general kind of legal framework in terms of, you know, what laws govern company liquidation. So at a federal level, as I mentioned earlier, anything related with substance or substantive aspect of a company's existence is governed at the federal level. And so some of the laws, there's different types of laws that apply, but one of the main laws that sets out the kind of the legal existence and obligations, liabilities of companies is the Federal Decree Law Number 32 of 2021 on commercial companies. So that particular law, it's the federal law, it sets out the legal framework for corporate dissolution and liquidation of companies in both on base mainland and in free zones. There is also, for example, Cabinet Resolution Number 58 of 2020 on the regulation of procedures related to real beneficiaries. And among other things, it requires companies that are undergoing through liquidation to disclose their ultimate beneficial owners, so UBOs, and then also provide a final report on their shareholding structure. So this is a fairly new law. It's only in the last 5 years that this particular requirement came to be, but it's important to highlight that this will be one of the requirements as part of the liquidation process. And then there's obviously a number of laws, tax laws that apply to liquidating a business. And this is because now we have two types of taxes that apply to businesses. One is the VAT and the other one is the corporate tax. And the VAT tax was subject to a law that was introduced in 2017, and that's the federal law number 8 that set up the VAT, which is the 5% in the UAE. And then there is now the federal corporate tax law, which is law number 47 of 2022. And they, too, govern the existence of companies and most definitely the liquidation of companies. And then you have the, as I mentioned earlier, the specific free zone regulations, let's say. And there's different free zones. We have the DMCC, which is Dubai Multi-Commodity Center, has its own set of regulations. You have IFSA, you have the DIFC, the Dubai International Financial Center. In Abu Dhabi, you have the ADGM, which is also not only a free zone, it also has its own, and both the DIFC and the ADGM are their own legal structure. So they have their own actual laws, in addition to the federal laws, that apply to the companies that are set up in those specific free zones. So these are specific laws and regulations that apply to companies in the zones, economic zones where they are developed. So then additionally, you have a number of UAE immigration laws that apply to also to companies, because in most cases, whenever you set up a company, you have employees working for the company. But even if you don't, if the owner of the company applied for, is sponsored by the company, because in many cases, owners of companies then apply to have a UAE residency visa on the basis of being an investor in the company or being a manager in the company. So that means that they are also employed by the company from the perspective of immigration, which means that they are licensed or sponsored by the company. And in that case, the immigration laws come into effect. And equally so, there is various labor laws and labor departments that govern companies, as a whole, and certainly at the end of their legal existence or liquidation, there will be a number of laws that will come into effect and the specific authorities that will be involved in terms of liquidating companies, such as MOHRE for mainland companies or Ministry of Human Resources and Amortization. And that's a labor department, if you will, for all the companies that are based in the mainland. And among other things, they will also have to issue their approvals and their clearance letters for all the companies as part of liquidation, ensuring that there are no employees that are still registered to the company and there are no employees that are still owed dues before the company is ultimately allowed to close down. So these are the different laws and that will, in most cases, come into effect much more vividly. Then you also have different types of laws that would ultimately might come into play if there's a dispute between shareholders or between partners, which often is the case, especially when you start liquidating the company. So it's really also important to understand where the company is set up. So, for example, there's certain free zones where the companies, the MOA or the Memorandum of Understanding, which is kind of the underlying foundations of a company, in them have an arbitration clause embedded in the regulations, which means in the event of a dispute between the partners as they're going through the liquidation and winding down the company, their dispute will be subject to arbitration by default and not the local courts. So this is why, in terms of understanding and preparing yourself for when, as you go through the liquidation process, you know, in the event a dispute arises, you need to know where it is that you will be taking your dispute to. Will it be part of the arbitration? Will it be part of the local courts? Will it be part of a specific court, for example, the DIFC or ADGM? Because different laws and different regulations and different process will apply based on what is embedded in the company's articles of incorporation. So, in general, like, why is liquidation necessary? Why is it just letting the company kind of go to sleep or letting the license expire and not sufficient? I mean, there are many different reasons, but the main reason is that to make sure that the company does not just evade its obligations and responsibilities. Because in terms of a company's existence, what does it mean for a company to be formed? Well, a company has a legal existence or legal identity. And in that capacity, it enters into various relationships. One, it hires employees. Issues residence visas for its various employees, managers, and even owners of the companies. It has contracts with suppliers, with customers, with various third parties. It also has banking relationship with whatever banks that they have bank accounts with. And as we know, a lot of companies do have lines of credit and various loans that they take from banks. So that's also a legal relationship. Perhaps more substantively, company usually is set up for purposes of running a business. As part of that business, they have contracts for supplying services, for supplying goods, for making goods, for buying things. And each one of these contracts has a monetary value to them. So at the end, when the company decides to liquidate, ultimately, if it's not required to go through a formal liquidation process, it will give an opportunity to it for it to just evade all these obligations. And that obviously would not be fair. It would not be fair to all the creditors, to the employees, for example, to all the customers, to allow for that company just poof to disappear. So that's why a very formal liquidation process is required in order for that the legal identity to be no more. And as part of this, there is the protocol or the process for for liquidating the company is to start with. Every company will need to go to appoint a liquidator, a formal liquidator, who will ultimately issue a report that will result in, there will be one of the documents submitted to the relevant authority that will allow for the company to ultimately be closed down. But prior to that, when the company decides to liquidate or to close down, it needs to issue a resolution. Basically, it needs to make a decision that, yes, it will now close down. So this is perhaps the first step. Now, how does a company make that decision? Those who run companies would know, there's a lot of also companies in the UAE that set up just kind of more as a placeholder, and in many ways they don't run their operations kind of in the formal way to perhaps even know what this, how a company would formally make a decision to close down or to liquidate. And that's basically by issuing a resolution. What's a resolution? It's a decision. And who can make the decision? Well, with regards to closing down the company, it actually has to be the owners of the company. Like, a manager of the company cannot make a decision to close down the company because obviously it affects the underlying rights and obligation that pertain to the owners of the company. or the shareholders of the company. So it has to be the shareholders who will make the decision to liquidate the company. So how do they make that decision? In cases where it's just one shareholder is easier, sometimes you have multiple shareholders. So one way or the other, the shareholders have to make a shareholder resolution or shareholder decision in which they will state a number of things. One, that the shareholders unanimously decided to liquidate the company. And two, that they appoint a liquidator, a specific liquidator, to manage the liquidation of the company. And then, let's say, three, it could be appointing specific auditors. If the company doesn't have an auditor, but it's also good to mention who the auditors should be in this liquidation resolution. And then there is a number of other things, for example, who they may want to designate to kind of on a day-to-day basis to manage the liquidation process. It could be the manager on the license. It could be a new person. And in many cases where when the company has come to that level where it needs to liquidate or close down, there's some sort of maybe a discord with the manager. So as part of this resolution, it may be also the company will need to make a decision about perhaps removing that manager and appointing a new manager that would also oversee the liquidation process. So these may sound like small nuances, but they're actually quite significant because without having each one of these elements sorted, the company ultimately will not be able to properly liquidate or certainly timely. Or it will require to go back and issue additional resolutions. This in particular, the resolution itself can be a process because it all depends on where the shareholders are located. Because the resolution, while it's a document, but in order for the liquidation process to kind of get started, that resolution will have to be registered with the relevant authority where the company is based. So that, let's say, Free Zone Authority could be DMCC, it could be IFSA, it could be a TCOM. So they will have to register that resolution, or it could be JAFSA. They would have to register the resolution with that specific authority, which means that it has to be drafted in a certain way that the authority understands, and also keeping in mind that the authority knows what the requirements are for company resolution. So they may be looking for those specific powers along the way, and so if you don't prepare the resolution with that in mind at the outset, you may have to issue a new resolution. Why I say that is based on our experience, because a lot of the times companies are owned by multiple shareholders who are based in different countries, and someone here in the UAE will prepare what they may think is just a standard or a template resolution, because that's how for many years the UAE sort of was run. A lot of these corporate documents or foundational documents were treated more kind of as nominal documents and almost like fictitious in a way, and that didn't really have much substance to them. Well, that has changed now, and so each one of these resolutions has to be drafted with keeping in mind the UAE's current legislative and legal framework and regulations, and which means they have to be very specific. So, for example, as I mentioned, it has to have a specific power for a liquidator to be appointed and the name of the liquidator. It has to have a specific power about the auditors and banking. Banking is very important because prior to closing the company, you'll also need to get various clearance certificates from the bank. So now who can manage the banking relationship? And banking itself is perhaps one of the more complex aspects of not just running a company but closing down the company. Those of you who have companies in the UAE would attest to it, and that's because when a company opens up a bank account, it usually designates a person or two or however it designates to have the authority to deal with banks. Now, when the company goes through liquidation, either those persons may no longer be with the company, or there may be dispute amongst those persons, or those persons are not in the UAE. And that usually happens because the shareholders usually are not based in the UAE at least full-time, but they are registered with the banks as the only representatives of the company for the purposes of the bank, which means in order to even request for the bank to have a letter a clearance letter or to close down the account, that person will have to come into the UAE personally. So if that person does not want to come to the UAE personally, this is where, in addition to perhaps shareholder resolutions, you will have to mention that specific power that you want to designate someone else to perhaps work with the banks on your behalf, although that in of itself may not work because banks have very specific requirements as to who they authorize to deal with them. But it also, in addition to the resolution, some of the shareholders may also want to issue powers of attorney that will further nominate somebody in the UAE to help manage some of these relationships with third parties and banks in particular. So you may have just the banking powers alone. You may need to include them in the shareholder resolution. You may need to include them also in the power of attorney. And additionally, you may need to get a specific authorization letter or a specific power of attorney from that specific bank that, to designate whoever it is you want to designate locally in the UAE to represent the company with that bank as part of the liquidation. So you start with the resolution. It has to be very specific. It has to be registered with the relevant authority. And then it has to mention who the liquidator is, which means that you need to have identified who that liquidator should be, and you need to have signed a contract or some sort of a relationship or engagement agreement with the liquidator for them to start the liquidation process. Now, who are the liquidators? Liquidators could be your auditors, company's auditors. They could be a different auditor, a third party, a brand new auditor, or could be an accounting company, either who you've worked with previously or a brand new one. It could also be a law firm. And usually, again, depending on which economic zone you're based in, let's say if it's JAFSA or if it's ADGM or DMCC, each one of those zones has its own approved liquidators, if you will. So that's not necessarily to say that you can only use them as liquidators. You can appoint your own, but that liquidator will ultimately have to be approved by the economic zone in order to ultimately for that liquidation report to be accepted by the economic authority. So, for example, if you decide to appoint a law firm. A law firm can, by its legal, by regulations applied to law firms, can act as a liquidator, but that specific law firm may not be registered as already kind of predetermined liquidator with the authority. So the law firm would have to issue a letter and write to the authority to nominate ultimately itself to be a liquidator for the specific company. So now we've got the resolution, we've got the liquidator, we've got the contract. The company will also have to sign this engagement agreement with the liquidator. The next big part of the equation is the auditors, because obviously the liquidators have to rely on something substantive, which is the financials of the company. That's the accounting books. That's the company's records. That means that you will need to the company will need to produce a final audit report as part of its liquidation process. That's why in many cases companies find it perhaps beneficial, more efficient for their current auditors to be appointed as liquidators. And it's fair enough. So if they have good relationship with the auditors or their accounting company, so that would be kind of a natural choice for them to appoint to also be a liquidator. But one way or the other, they're sort of separate parts, right? Because the auditors will have to prepare the audit report to tally up the books of the company in terms of what assets they have, what liabilities they have. And then that audit report will be integrated into liquidation report by the liquidators. And so once again, it can be done by the same company. That's the other aspect of it. Now, next requirement is whenever the company decides to liquidate or to close down, it will need to publish that decision in local newspapers or news wires. Now, papers don't really exist so much anymore. And so usually, depending on which economic zone it's based, the requirement to publish at least in 2 or 3 publications. And the idea of this is to notify the world, ultimately, this company is planning to close down. So if there's any other creditors out there, that may not be aware the company's closing down and may be proceeding as if the company was continuing to run in terms of, for example, giving more credit or more goods or services to the company. So this is an opportunity to ultimately, for all these creditors who may not be aware that the company is closing down its operations, to come forward and submit their claims or their complaints or their grievances, whatever they may have. So this is an important step, and this is exactly why just letting company license expire, it does not work. And this is because, as we all know, a lot of the times when a company makes the decision to liquidate, it's because it's not doing so well, so which means that it may owe money to some. And so this is why this requirement of publishing in the local newspaper is so important, is that just to make sure that all those creditors who may otherwise not be aware or by virtue of this liquidation process may not come to know about the liquidation, this is their opportunity for them to learn through the public sources. So that's the other requirement. And then as part of this liquidation report, the liquidation report will ultimately be this sort of comprehensive dossier or manifesto of the audits and then the various NOCs, or as we call them in the UAE, or no objection certificates or clearance certificates from various authorities, from government authorities, but also from banks. So in terms of the banking part, as I already mentioned, that's a very significant part of the liquidation process, because let's say if the company has loans or open lines of credit, those will have to be closed first before the bank will issue a clearance letter. But as part of the final liquidation process and this dossier of documents that the liquidators will have to submit to the authorities, will have to include all these different clearance certificates, one of which will be from the bank after the bank account has been closed. So the company will have to apply for the closure of the bank account, pay all the different loans, lines of credits, or any kind of charges associated with closing of the account, and then have that bank issue a clearance letter and the closure of account letter that will go into this master file, the master liquidation file, upon liquidator submitting it to the government authorities. So that in of itself is a very important element of the liquidation. Next is the other types of clearance certificates. So we talked about the banks, but as I mentioned kind of at the outset, the company is governed by different authorities or different laws and therefore different authorities. So one of the important ones will be obviously the Federal Tax Authority, and that is you'll have to also get clearance certificates from FTA, or the Federal Tax Authority in the UAE, that ultimately states that, yes, all your tax obligations have been paid. Your VAT taxes have been paid and your corporate taxes have been paid. By the way, this is an important element that can in of itself cause quite significant issues, because as of what time does your tax obligation been paid off? Because as I mentioned earlier, liquidation does take quite a bit of time. So you might have, at the time you applied for the certificate that you've paid your tax, you might have been paid up. But since liquidation will take, let's say, another 6 months, you will have additional obligations to pay for the taxes for the next 6 months. So that in of itself is an important element for businesses to be aware and allocate payment of, if not payment necessarily, of taxes, because they may not be making any money, but at least submission of documents to the FTA up to the end, kind of the estimated end of the liquidation process, because the company, as I mentioned earlier, still its legal existence continues until the license has been formally closed down. That means the tax obligations continue. And even if it's not the payment of the tax, because the business is not generating money, you still have the obligation to submit tax returns or tax requests or tax documents to the authority as part of your kind of ongoing obligations. So that's a very important element. We have seen from our personal experience sometimes that particular part where, because the business did not submit their VAT returns, it was fined additionally. And so the company was, because the liquidation took longer than the business expected. And the fine was greater, in fact, than their tax obligation. So they wanted to kind of challenge it, but ultimately it just wasn't worthwhile for them to challenge. So just something to keep in mind, this little curveball can come up. The other clearance certificates will have to come, and this is also an incredibly important part, is from Ministry of Labor or the regulatory body that regulates employment relationship with that, for that specific economic zone. So on the mainland, it is MOHRE, or the Ministry of Human Resources and Amortization. And on in the specific free zones, it's their own specific free zone authority that regulates employment relationships. Well, like, what does that mean? And that's basically clearance of all employee dues. So that's all employee salaries, outstanding salaries, and also it has to be through the end of liquidation. So if any of these employees continue to work for the company, or at least even if they're not really working, but they're still registered with the company, so the employment obligations continue to accrue. So all of their employment entitlements will have to be settled before the company is allowed to close down. And so this, by the way, is quite important because we have a lot of clients that come to us, and they worry, and their employees, they worry that the company doesn't have money. How is it going to? They will close down in front of them without their dues getting settled, because you know, in their mind, the company doesn't have money or doesn't want to pay them. Well, so a bit of assurance for those employees who worry about that, and that's a justified concern, is that before the company is legally and finally allowed to close down its doors and wind down and liquidate, they will have to get clearance from MOHRE, or specific economic zone or free zone, that will clearly state that all of the employees have had all the entitlements paid, including the end of service benefits, and also their visas, the employment visas, have been canceled. So therefore, if employees, for example, worry that either have not been paid or worry that they will not be paid, especially at their end of service, this is also an opportunity for employees to make sure that they timely file requests either with a specific authority requesting the payment of their outstanding entitlements, or ultimately file a court case. And so and this means that as long as there is a court case against the company, it will not be allowed to liquidate. For obvious reasons, again, so not to give the company a chance to evade its obligations. So for employees, just there is your bit of assurances, is that if you worry that companies either purposefully not wanting to pay your entitlement or not able to, this is your chance to lodge a complaint with, if you're on the mainland, with MOHRE, if you are in free zones, with the local courts, the labor courts, requesting payment of your entitlements. And this, by the way, is employee entitlements are considered as priority creditors. In other words, employees are given priority in terms of how the creditors are being paid. So because an employee that has not been paid is ultimately a creditor. Which means, and there could be different creditors. There is the employee creditors, there's the government authorities that, let's say, have not been paid taxes. They also considered a creditor. So they are categorized as the priority creditors. And then there's the other creditors, for example, customers or third parties, providers, service providers. They would be treated differently in terms of prioritizing credits and creditors. So the company will need to get an NOC, clearance certificate from this, from the Ministry of Labor or the equivalent, and settle all of its court cases with employees before it's allowed to close down. Another clearance certificate will have to come from the immigration authorities, and that is because before the company can close down, it must also cancel all of the visas, residence visas that are registered to that company. So it's for its employees. All employees' visas will have to first be canceled. If it is for partners, their visas will have to be canceled before the company closes down. And then obviously whatever other regulatory requirements that the company may have outstanding with specific authority will also need to be settled, such as paying for the license renewal or submitting audit reports. So if the company has not done any one of those things, then they will have to first submit, get clearance of those before they can even submit their liquidation report to the authority. So all of these kind of data points get fed into ultimately the liquidation, what becomes the liquidation, the final liquidation report. So you have clearances from the tax authorities, from the immigration authorities, from the labor department, from the bank, banks and from any other creditors, from the courts, for example. So the company will have to settle all of those obligations and then feed this to the liquidators or the auditors. They'll have to put it in their report, and then now you have the final liquidation report. So as part of this liquidation report, that's the document that gets submitted to the regulating authority, being the economic authority where the company is set up, free zone or DED. And so once those documents are submitted, there could be additional requests from the authority for compliance documents. So, for example, this is an opportunity for the regulatory authority to ask, for example, for the disclosure of the ultimate beneficiaries. And so without that kind of document being provided to the authority, you're winding down the company is also basically being paused. But provided you've given all the documents, you've provided all the compliance requirements, then the last kind of bit, if you will, is submitting the original documents to the authority. So that's usually the MOAs and the Memorandum of Association, so Articles of Association, any amendments to those documents. We're kind of moving away from the originals these days. Most of them, these documents these days are generated by in virtue of a QR code, so that particular requirement may kind of phase out as time goes on, but for the time being, you still have this requirement of submitting the original documents that may be at hand. And finally, fees. There'll be a lot of fees to be paid. There'll be fees to be paid to the liquidators. There'll be fees to be paid to the auditors. There'll be fees to be paid to the regulating authority, the economic zone, that is, as part of liquidation request and as part of, let's say, sometimes you may need to renew your license before the liquidation is finished because, let's say, it could be in the middle, your license is expiring and you're already going through the liquidation. You'll still need to renew your license before you're allowed to liquidate. By the way, for any of those companies who have not paid for their license for the last several years because they were not using the company and they thought just letting the company license just expire will result in winding down the company. Now that you know that, and that's not the case, in order for you to actually file a formal liquidation process, you'll need to pay for all the company's fees from the previous years that you have not paid. In other words, you'll have to pay for all the renewal fees from the past before you are allowed to apply for liquidation. Those fees can be quite significant, and all obviously depending on the complexity of your business or even the claims from the creditors, you may also need to appoint lawyers. And a lot of this is kind of where we get involved. This is why we have the substantive experience that I'm sharing with you here today, because often companies find it also beneficial or perhaps necessary for them to, in addition to everybody else, also employ lawyers to help them through the liquidation process. So all of that, before you liquidate the company or wind down the company, this is important that you just sit down and kind of outline with the different costs that will come into play as part of the liquidation process. You can budget accordingly. And this is where, I guess as a concluding comment, once companies become aware of this, and in particular, perhaps estimate what it would cost them to do that. This is where often, at least, this is what we advise companies to do, is perhaps it's maybe cheaper for them to sell the company than to actually liquidate. Obviously, you will need to have a willing buyer in that case, but there are a lot of companies in the UAE that have been kind of used more as holding companies and they haven't really had many operations. So there's not that many liabilities attached. It may be easy to find a buyer to buy. So even if, when I say buy, I'm saying at a zero value, just because it will, or you can even offer money for somebody to buy your company, only because it will ultimately be faster and cheaper for you to just transfer your shares to somebody else than to go through the formal liquidation process. Obviously, this does not apply to everyone. And it also can create significant risks and liabilities to whoever buys the company. But that option always exists. And sometimes there are willing buyers who would prefer to leapfrog through the company setup process that we discussed kind of early on in the episode and kind of jump through all those hoops, avoid jumping through the hoops and just buy or take an existing company with, for example, even the banking relationship. And that would be a lot cheaper and faster for them. Obviously, they will need to do their own due diligence to make sure that they're not subjecting themselves to additional or unknown liabilities. So that sort of concludes our discussion, and you see something that many may think is a fairly simple and streamlined process. In fact, is actually a very involved in terms of legal compliance, in terms of financial obligations, and in terms of time process to ultimately close down the company. So for all those who may be listening to this, and before you open the company in the UAE, be mindful of this because historically, I guess in the past, it was very common in the UAE because it was kind of easy to open a company provided that you were in the position to pay all the licensing fees. So often investors would come and set up a bunch of companies, or they'll just open up a company because just in case they may need it, or they would open up a company to have a visa, or they would open up a company to be able to sponsor somebody. So in the past, it was easier to keep those companies because you didn't have all these, for example, tax obligations and disclosure requirements that we have now. But be very careful and cautious about opening up companies too quickly because closing down a company is a fairly involved process, which means that whenever you decide to open a company, do seek proper legal advice or professional advice from somebody professional in terms of where is it best for you to set up a company. Because a lot of the time we have seen and we get involved in actually helping clients set up close down a company because they realize through the process that they're set up in the wrong zone. They're set up in the wrong economic zone that doesn't work for them. And when you go through the process of understanding why it is that they're set up there, they themselves don't know about it because it turns out it's because whoever the business consultancy firm that they hired early on to help them open up a company, just basically that's what they recommended to them. So just keeping all this discussion in mind, make sure the next time around, if you do want to open up a company, understand why you're being offered or advised to set up in specific economic zone and make sure that you understand what that economic zone can offer to you as a business or not, to make sure that you don't end up in the wrong zone and then have to close down and go through this winding down process in order to be able to set up somewhere else that's more appropriate for your business. So with that, I conclude this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Just as a parting comment, be mindful that while the UAE has a lot of great benefits for businesses to set up and to flourish, it is a process that needs to be well approached it must be made with an educated approach. So you need to know where you're setting up, what you're setting up, and why, so that you don't end up in these pitfalls that so many companies find themselves in. With that, we conclude another episode of Logical. Thank you for tuning in. You can find me on various socials like TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and more, where I provide regular updates on the latest laws and regulations in the UAE. If you have a legal question or would like to schedule a consultation with us, feel free to reach out to us through the contact page on our website, lylawyers.com. Until next time, stay safe and stay informed.